Welcome to another episode of the Oncology on the Go podcast. I'm your host, Russ Conroy. In this episode, various experts highlighted research on optimizing treatment outcomes for patient subgroups with hematologic cancers that they presented at the 2024 European Hematology Association Congress. First, Dr. Manali Kamdar from the University of Colorado discussed findings from the TRANSCEND-NHL-001 trial showing an increased benefit with liso-cel in earlier lines of therapy for patients with relapsed refractory mantle cell lymphoma, as well as potential future directions for researching the agent in this space.
I think liso-cel is a construct with CD19 CAR T-cell therapy that has shown really good efficacy in some hard-to-treat lymphomas like diffuse large cell lymphoma, follicular lymphoma, mantle cell lymphoma, and it's all approved in those settings. But they have all been approved in a third-line or second-line setting. In the diffuse large B-cell lymphoma space, it probably needs to be tested even in the earlier lines of treatment, maybe in the high-risk diffuse large B-cell lymphoma subgroup like high-grade B-cell lymphomas, double-hit lymphomas, patients who have a partial remission on an interim PET with high-risk cytogenetics or FISH. I think those are the patients that would potentially be better suited for liso-cel in the earlier lines of treatment. On the other hand, with mantle cell lymphoma, I do believe that the space for liso-cel needs to continue to be explored. Mantle cell lymphoma remains an unmet need, especially if it's proliferative, enriched with TP53 mutations, aggressive phenotypes like blastoid and pleomorphic. And I do believe that if CAR-T is brought in, even beyond the third line setting, maybe in the second line setting, I am quite convinced that I think the responses, the durability of such would be exceptional, and I do believe that the toxicity will be manageable.
Next, Dr. Michael Grunwald from Atrium Health's Levine Cancer Institute reviewed results from the REVEAL trial highlighting potential factors of disease progression in patients with polycythemia vera.
Having a history of thrombosis is not only a risk factor for future thrombosis, but also a risk factor for disease progression to myelofibrosis and AML. And that lends some insight into the biology of the disease, and perhaps in the future to introducing disease-modifying agents earlier in a patient's course. So if a patient has a history of thrombosis, and we discover that a certain type of therapy might be able to help that at-risk population have a lower chance of transforming, it stands to reason then that more of these patients should be treated with that therapy, whatever that therapy is. So I think that basic understanding is helpful. And then some of the other risk factors that we identified have been suggested in previous work, like the elevated white blood cell count, the higher variant allele frequency. And it's almost intuitive to me that the duration of time from diagnosis to starting on the study, the amount of time with the disease would be a risk factor, just given that it takes time to progress. We did present here at this meeting a molecular analysis in a small subset of patients who were transformed versus non-transformed. And we're trying to identify whether there are molecular features that can prognosticate for transformation. We have that in myelofibrosis. We know that there are certain high-risk mutations, but it's not really known in PV. And so now we're looking at a larger cohort of patients on the REVEAL study, some of whom transformed and some of whom who did not transform, and seeing whether in these larger groups of patients, can we identify molecular differences.
Finally, Dr. Harry Erba from Duke Cancer Institute discussed findings from the Phase 3 Quantum First trial and how the benefit of quizartinib continuation therapy in patients with acute myeloid leukemia may depend on prior allogeneic transplant.
An interesting observation, though, was the benefit of the continuation was most pronounced in patients who did not go to allotransplant in first remission. So in my mind, as I'm thinking about these patients, those are patients who are older, who are not getting an allogeneic transplant. And there, the benefit of the quizartinib maintenance was quite dramatically seen over placebo. On the other hand, in the patients who did undergo allogeneic transplant, there was no statistically significant difference in the outcomes, the survival, with either placebo or quizartinib as maintenance. And in fact, some have commented that later there seemed to be more deaths with quizartinib. Now, we have to be very careful about analyzing this data. There's no benefit from that analysis. But one thing to keep in mind is that the population of patients who continued continuation after transplant was slightly different because there were more relapses in the placebo group after the transplant before continuation than there were in the patients who were on quizartinib, got to the transplant, and then were eligible for quizartinib. So it's not an exact comparison of two similar groups. Biologically, they may have been different. And there lies the reason why you really need to re-randomize at that time to see the independent impact of the continuation therapy. Having said that, the Quantum First study might still be ongoing if that was our primary endpoint of the study. We would need so many patients to show that benefit from that re-randomization. So it is a limitation of the analysis. So those are the two biggest updates from Quantum First. We are also looking at patient-reported outcomes. There's more data coming out on measurable residual disease. In the continuation phase, I'm looking forward to seeing the impact of MRD and the benefit of quizartinib or placebo during the continuation phase, but that data is still being analyzed.
Don't forget to subscribe to the Oncology On The Go podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or anywhere podcasts are available. Or listen online at cancernetwork.com/resources/podcasts. The Oncology On The Go podcast is the official podcast of cancernetwork.com, the home of the journal Oncology. For more information, visit us at cancernetwork.com and find us on Twitter at cancernetwork without the O, or on Facebook and LinkedIn at cancer-network.